Welcome back to Baseball Control in Toronto. Roger LeJoie, Nick Ashburn with you. We're going to do some Jays talk right up until 5 o'clock today, Eastern Time, and great to have you with us. As Ben said, and what a great job Ben Schulman did on that ball game today. You don't see three-hour, 10-minute exhibition games too often. You do not see a ninth inning with eight runs scored in it a great deal of the time. And it's only exhibition. It's only, obviously, means nothing in terms of the standings. But, Nick, I got to tell you, it shows again. We've talked about it several times this weekend, and it really plays to effect. Every at-bat matters to these guys. Everyone thinks, well, preseason, they're just going to go out there and wave at it. No, everyone's my stats. I'm trying to have my moment. And especially that top of the ninth inning, we had some Blue Jay players who did some fun stuff that we may honestly not hear very much about all season.
No, but they're fighting for, to be recognized within the organization, potentially by other organizations. Even if you're not making the MLB roster, you're also potentially fighting to get assigned to AAA rather than AA. Like, there are always little aspects of different stakes for the at-bats in these ball games. And even if it's not players that you're overly familiar with, they are fighting for something. And a little bit of fun late in this game that a couple of guys for the Blue Jays who did well, Edison Paulino and Cutter Coffey, were both players who were with the Red Sox organization who came over in the Danny Jansen trade. So both of them were able to, get some hits against their former organization, which I'm sure is a fun little thing for them as well. And yeah, even if the stakes are not the highest in terms of the fate of the Toronto Blue Jays, they matter for the fate of the individual players this season.
Indeed, they do, and a lot of people got some playing time in this ball game, probably more than the Blue Jays were expecting, although maybe not. Maybe the plan was to open up the bench, but Rodriguez got the start in this one, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 relievers follow him. Blue Jays emptied the bench, turned over the lineup later in the game, and that's where the fun started, because Boston had a 3-0 lead after two. Blue Jays scored two in the top of the third. Red Sox answer with two in the bottom of the fourth. And those first four innings, Nick, we were saying, like, took a long time to play. A lot of in-inning pitching changes. All good, though. 5-2 after four. And then it speeded up and it goes to the ninth inning. You think, oh, this would just be a quick afternoon here. And the Blue Jays put up six in the top of the ninth. And the Red Sox answer with two in the bottom. 590-590 is the text line. You want to weigh in and chat? Not so much on today's game, but how you feeling about the Blue Jays? How do you feel about Vladdy? Bo, the front office. There's been a lot of frustration on this Blue Jays team in the offseason. Give us a call. 1-888-666-0590, star 590. And if you're in the 416 area code, 416-870-0590. Text line is open, 590-590. You can also email, if you like, roger@sportsnet590.ca and talk about this Jays team. Eight runs, 14 hits, no errors, 12 runners left on base for the Blue Jays. Seven runs, 11 hits, one error, nine runners left on for the Boston Red Sox. Not a lot of the stuff that happens in a game like this, despite what we all said, players trying to get AA, AAA, looking for spots on the roster, but a couple of people to talk about in particular. Alan Roden, good game for him, and he's the kind of a guy that's not the highest on the depth chart right now, but if you're looking for maybe that somebody during the exhibition season that could really improve his stock, he would be at the top of the list.
Absolutely. He's hit at every level of the minor leagues. He's someone who's definitely on the organization's radar. Does he have the massive power? Not necessarily. Does he have incredible speed? Not necessarily. He's not the toolsiest player, but it seems like everywhere he goes, he works counts, he gets walks, he makes contact. He hits the ball for doubles as well. He's not a pure slap hitter, the occasional home run. Couple of good hits in this game. We also saw him make a decent play in the outfield as well. And, he might not be someone who's really fighting too hard for that opening day spot, although there's some flexibility there. You never know. He's probably someone who's going to head to AAA and continue to battle there. But he's someone the organization definitely likes. And he looks like a guy who can handle the bat. And that's always valuable, even if he's not necessarily projecting as a third or fourth hitter of the future for the Toronto Blue Jays. He looks like a competent guy who does have the ability to reach the major leagues.
Now, pitching-wise in today's game, Rodriguez had an interesting outing, to say the least, because he ran into trouble. If you didn't catch the opening of the game, he ran into trouble in the early innings, was lifted early, and then re-entered the game, which you can do during the spring training. Winds up pitching an inning and a third, giving up two earned runs, three hits, two walks, two Ks, not a great effort, not I want to say effort, but performance from him in the early going. And his status is going to be one to watch, especially with Yarbrough now in the mix. And I don't want to say the Blue Jays have a plethora or really deep in starting pitching, but in a kind of way they are when they got two guys who could at least be air quotes six starters this year.
With Rodriguez, I could see literally three different viable paths for him, right? Like, they have their five starters locked in. So in theory, if nobody gets hurt, he's not going to break camp in the rotation. But at the same time, you know, they've got an older guy in Scherzer. People can always get hurt, especially pitchers. So there's a world where he ends up in the rotation early in the year. There's a world where he's more of that multi-inning long reliever type. But that's less sure now that Yarbrough's on board. And that's kind of Yarbrough's bread and butter, is to be that rubber arm guy who gives you 2 to 3 innings out of the bullpen in a given night. And then there's a world where, because Yarbrough is that guy, because they see Yarbrough's potentially being the prototypical long reliever, suddenly Yariel Rodriguez is someone you're using later in games, in shorter stints. You're making use of the power arm, the slider, the strikeout ability. So it's very much up in the air with him. I think before Yarbrough signed, it seemed very clear. Okay, he is the sixth starter, and he's also someone who's going to push relatively deep when he's pitching out of the bullpen. With Yarbrough in there, with different style, but similar theoretical skill set from a broad perspective, there's a lot of questions about where Yariel Rodriguez is going to slot in terms of role.
How about Jake Bloss comes in today? He gets knocked around a little bit as well. And these are the kind of guys, you know, you really wonder where they fit in the pitching staff, because it is a deep staff all of a sudden now. We know the bullpen is set. We already talked about Yarbrough and with both those guys, Rodriguez figuring in. You've got the five starters kind of set. Your back of the bullpen is pretty stuck. There's not all that many places to wiggle in. What's the future for Jake Bloss, do you think?
Bloss is realistically going to need an injury or someone to really, really underperform, or arguably both of those things in terms of making the major leagues and being in the rotation. Now, those things happen over the course of the year. It's definitely a possibility. He is knocking on the door. He's MLB ready, basically. He has some experience at AAA. You could argue he needs a little bit more. That's probably the first place that he goes. But in this game, you know, he did not look particularly strong. It's nothing to panic about. This is his first outing of the spring. One thing that I noticed that is noteworthy is that, and we don't have the StatCast data from Boston's Park, so it's a little bit less reliable, but they did flash on the scoreboard at one point that one of his fastballs was 98 miles per hour. And this is a guy that we think of as more of a 93, 94. And so if that reading, you know, watch his next start, watch next time he's in Dunedin, because you get more reliable readings there. It'll be interesting to see if there is a velocity bump with him, because if that is anything real, it'll be worth watching going forward.
Well, that's a substantial bump in velocity. So we'll see if that does work out indeed. Roger Lajoie, Nick Ashburn with you. 1-888-666-0590 if you want to weigh in on the game today. And in particular, do you want to weigh in on what do you do with Vladdy now? Are you confident that this management team can sort this out? Because we're going to be talking about this all year, unless something transpires for sure. If you're in the 416-870-0590 or *590, you can always reach us there. And our text line always open, 590-590. Standard data and text rates may apply. Name and location, please. Your thoughts on where the Jays stand. 2-0 now in the preseason after a 6-4 win over the Yankees yesterday in their game in Dunedin, and an 8-7 win over the Boston Red Sox. By the way, on the Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network, our next broadcast will be Tuesday against St. Louis at 1 p.m. So more baseball talk then. So reach out to us. So no question from the Blue Jays' perspective, a nice rally. Who cares about the games? But let's talk a little bit about the Boston Red Sox, because if our expectations, Nick, are for the Blue Jays to be a playoff contending team, they got to figure their way through what figures to be, again, a really tough American League East. We saw the Yankees. We talked about them yesterday. They are defending AL champions. They have a loaded lineup, despite the fact they lost Soto. We look at the Red Sox today, and Crochet and Bregman in particular. Bregman, just 3 hits today, banging the ball. One of the best hitters in Fenway Park already in his career, because, you know, even though he played for the Houston Astros. And Crochet, even though an inning and 2/3 today, it didn't matter what he did today, just that's a significant uptick in what is already a pretty good team. I think based on what we've seen the last 2 days, we can put the Red Sox in the conversation in this division.
That last minute addition of Bregman is huge for the Red Sox. Like, he is someone who has been an impact player both offensively and defensively. You know, this individual game does not necessarily mean he's in for the best year of his career. And last year, he was certainly a little bit disappointing with the bat. But as you mentioned, he's got a great history at Fenway Park. And that's the swing he's been used to, because he's used to hitting the ball into the Crawford boxes in Houston. He's kind of geared his swing towards pulling the ball in the air to left field. He should fit that lineup really, really well. The Red Sox definitely have some questions when it comes to their pitching, a little bit deeper in the rotation, but now they have that ace in Crochet. They've got a lot of young position players on the way up. Is this the best Red Sox team we're going to see in the next half decade in 2025? I'm not sure. I think it's a little bit of a work in progress, but they are a rising power in the AL East, and that is difficult for the Blue Jays because the Yankees are not going anywhere. The Rays are as smart as they come. The Orioles have plenty of young talent, even if the spending isn't always there. Like, the all of these teams are dangerous in their own ways. And with the Blue Jays kind of projecting as a middle-of-the-road team, it's going to be really difficult to fight in that AL East.
Well, especially if it's the case, if we subscribe, and we talked about it on the pregame show, Nick, that if you're of the thinking that the Blue Jays are still all about 2025 and they have Vladdy and Bo in the lineup and at least take a run at it and deal with it at the end of the year, if that's what you're saying and not trading any of these guys, you have to try to, you know, best you can guess on what kind of a chance have they got in the division and to get into the wild card hunt. And if the Red Sox are that good and you outlined the division, man, where is the playoff spot coming from if you're the Toronto Blue Jays? That's the frightening thing. And then the worst thing that can happen, and I hate to say it, but it is the worst thing that can happen. Your first at bat of spring, and Addison Barger takes a ball off the hand and had a contusion, where we're going to see if Shai Davidi will give us, I'm sure we'll have an update coming up sooner, but man, you just talk about that. Everyone talks about depth. We talk about the plans. Oh, the positions are all set. Yada, yada, yada. And here, one game in, Barger has got an injury we hope is not too serious, but it was enough to force him out of the ballgame. That's why you need depth, Nick. You can never have enough of everything.
And Barger isn't a guy who they were necessarily counting on that was going to get penciled into that every, you know, that opening day lineup. But he was someone fighting for those spots, and he has difference-making bat speed and power. And, you know, the rest of his game, bit of a work in progress, to be honest. He has a huge arm, but there's a lot of other things he has to work on. We saw him last year. He had great moments. He was inconsistent. But this is his time, the time before the season, where he can say, listen, this is how I've worked on my game. This is how I'm closing the holes in what I do, and I'm ready to take that next step. And because the Jays have a few holes on the roster, at least spots that are competitive, they would have been receptive to that. And we don't know what's going to happen to him. Maybe he'll be fine in a couple of days and it won't affect his spring too badly. But it is difficult to see that happen to a guy who's, you know, he's trying to prove himself, has a lot of talent. And, you know, the Jays are looking for more offense, and the best version of Addison Barger is someone who might have been able to help in that realm.
Yeah, no question. That would help for sure. 1-888-666-0590 is the phone number. 416-870-0590 if you're in the 416. Star 590 on your cell. Give us a call, and we'll take some calls here on Jay's Talk till the top of the hour, 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Love to hear from you. Our text line is always open, 590-590. Standard data and text rates may apply. Please put your name and location, please, on your text. We'll hear from you as well on the text line. You can hit us up on X as well, at the Raj 590 or at Nick Ashburn. It was fun. It's only preseason, but the Blue Jays off to a nice start. They score 6 runs in the top of the 9th inning, survive a nervous bottom of the 9th when the Red Sox get 2, and they win 8-7 to improve their Grapefruit League record to 2-0. Roger Lajoie, Nick Ashburn, Jay Stock continues on the Sportsnet Radio Network. The unbeaten streak continues. The Blue Jays 2-0 in Grapefruit League play. Hey, if you're going to play the games, you may as well win them, right? 8-7, Blue Jays beat Boston. 6 runs in the top of the 9th. Red Sox get 2 in the bottom of the 9th. Man, you wish your regular season was here. The Blue Jays have beaten the Yankees and Red Sox back-to-back days. However, still all good. But is it all good? What are your thoughts on the Blue Jays? Vladdy, should he be dealt? Now? Trade deadline? Not at all? Take your chances? How do you feel about that? Overall, your thoughts on the Jays. That's why we do Jays Talk. Roger Lajoie in for Show Ali. Nick Ashburn is here. Love to get your feedback on the phone lines. Hit us up on X as well at the Raj 590, at Nick Ashburn as well. And we'll take your comments right to the top of the hour. Here is the Jays Make It 2-0. Quick update before we get to the phones. And Adam in North York, we're coming to you first. John Schneider says X-rays on Addison Barger were negative. He'll likely get a day off tomorrow, but he's not expected to be sidelined long. Good news there for sure, Nick.
Absolutely. And you always get worried when you're dealing with hitters, whether it's the hand or the wrist, that can be a really sensitive area. Seems like it's not a serious injury, and he can keep trying to prove himself in the spring.
1-888-666-0590 is the number, and 590-590 is the text line. Let's hear from you. Adam in North York, thanks for holding. Adam, what do you think, Adam?
I think 2 points. One, why has no one invented a baseball batting glove that can take a ball off it? You'd think with the millions of dollars that the players are paid that somebody would be invested in it. That's just on the side. Vladdy, I think Vladdy is going to California, unless it's all about taxes, and then it's going to be Texas. But I think the Jays have lost him, and so they got to trade him now. If you let them, I don't know what the deal is. So, I mean, they insulted him last year by taking him arbitration, and he had no intention of signing here once they did that. And I don't blame him. And I just I'm. And then the other last part, which is very clear, at the end of the CBA, we're having a lockout because the owners really, really want a salary cap to go forward. And I'll let you discuss that.
All right.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for your time. Some good points there. So let's take them one at a time. Batting glove, you know what? You're throwing a ball 100 miles an hour. The way these guys can throw, I don't know if there's such an invention around that it can protect your hands enough from time to time. You're going to take the ball, unfortunately, and that's just the way of life. So, Adam, we all wish we could protect players more, but I don't think that's possible. Now, the Vladdy stuff, very interesting. Do you think, Nick, the arbitration was that big a deal with Vladdy? Does it go back then? Because, you know, it didn't appear to be. It certainly wasn't a distraction during the season. And at the end of last season, the consensus was Vladdy seemed to be open to signing with the team. So if it was an issue, he certainly didn't make it a public one.
There are certainly instances you hear of players and teams having arbitration hearings that are, you know, get a little bit ugly and feelings can get hurt. You know, the reality is the team is trying to prove that the player has a lower value than he thinks he has. It's hard to make that happen in a way that doesn't potentially hurt feelings. But yeah, as you mentioned, Vladdy never seemed to indicate it was an issue. Throughout this process, he's used the phrase, you know, some version of the phrase that this is business a lot of the time. And it seems like that's the way that he's approached it when he talks about, you know, I have my number, they had their number. It's very much a business-like mindset. So I don't think that the tear between the player and the team that prevented them from reaching an extension prior to the 2025 season really has much to do with that arbitration. It's more about how they choose to value an individual player and a first baseman and what Vladdy wants compared to the Soto deal. There's a lot happening, but I actually don't think that there's really a venomous relationship between player and team caused by the arbitration.
I would agree. However, man, you know, the arbitration process, you look around most major league baseball teams in particular and most professional sports franchises do everything they can to avoid arbitration because it's awkward to say the least. You are arguing against your player. You really are. And that information gets back to the player. And I'm not speculating. I largely agree with what you said. I mean, it's business. It's part of the business. But part of the business doesn't mean you have to like it. And you're coming up with arguments why not to pay the guy. And at the end of last season, too, you remember it was Shapiro or Atkins, one of them, you know, making the comments, you know, hey, do you see him as a generational player? And at that point, they didn't even really answer. Well, of course, no, it was more of, well, we see him a very good player. So, you know, maybe this is a case. And I look at it today. If you asked me what I think the odds are that Vladdy's re-signing with the Blue Jays, I would say phenomenally low. That's just a guess because we talked about it earlier. We don't know. I'd say phenomenally low. So to his point, whether it's California, Texas, whatever the case may be, this is going to be an issue all season. And I don't see Vladdy continuing. So if I don't see Vladdy continuing, I don't really like this team's chances of, well, let's just go all in and see what happens. I don't think, Nick, that's the way to go in this situation.
If you did trade Vladdy, for one, you are, you know, kind of running that white flag up for this season, and that's not really how the team is built because it's a lot of expensive veterans on this team. You know, you bring in Max Scherzer, in his example. You don't really bring in Max Scherzer to a team that you don't even want to try to compete. Now, we can argue how close are the Blue Jays to making making any moves competitively and whether they can be in the wild card, how far they would hypothetically go in the playoffs. A lot of people have kind of lost faith in this team completely. Like, there is no chance that they are going to be competitive in 2025. Everyone saw how disappointing they were last season, and people, you know, have mixed feelings about the offseason they've put together, especially with all those misses that they had on the big free agents. But that's just not the direction of the team right now. The direction of the team is they are trying to win in 2025. So I think it's unlikely they're going to move Vladdy unless they get to the deadline and they're in a rough spot and he's doing well. Sure, that scenario could come together. You could say it's foolish to do it, and I understand why. Like, they are really risking a lot for what looks like right now a kind of decent but not unbelievable team. And at the end of the year, to have that run be really prioritized by the organization, and then Vladdy and Bo walk at the end of it, and you didn't get much out of it. It could look ugly. Yeah.
To me, the worst case scenario is both of them walking for nothing. I don't care what happens in 2025. Even if it works out, they're competitive and they're in a bit of a run, or even if they get into a wild card and win a game or whatever the heck happens to them. That to me is the worst case scenario. Third point to Adam before we get to Max on the phone lines is the CBA. The salary cap situation, there is no question. I think there is a certain element of owners in Major League Baseball have had just about enough of this. But end of the day, it works. Like, it works. Baseball does work. I mean, they haven't had a repeat champion since the Yankees 25 years ago. Small market teams at times have found a way to compete. The teams that are really bad, at least the owners get so much in revenue sharing. No team's in peril. Nobody's folding. The players are making a mint. I know people look at it, this is crazy, somebody's going to do something. But really, the industry of baseball, it really shouldn't make any sense. But it is working, Nick, to a point.
I think it's a knee-jerk reaction. People see, you know, athlete makes, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And their first reaction is just like, that is crazy. It's crazy that a guy whose job it is to hit a ball with a stick is making $700 million plus dollars. But like you said, it's all about the context of the industry, the amount of revenue they're bringing in. You know, I don't think I'm alone in believing that as much of that can go to the entertainers, the players themselves, like, as possible is great. And so I get it. Owners want this because it will drive down salaries and it will make them more profitable. But the MLB Players Union, this has been what they've had to hang their hat on for decades. They have been the union that has successfully fought off the salary cap.
Goes back to 94.
Yeah, when none of the other leagues were able to do that. So for them to concede on that, it's really difficult to imagine because that is their greatest accomplishment, and the players will fight tooth and nail against that because it doesn't make any sense for them.
Max in Toronto, you're on Jay's Talk. Max, you got something to say about Vladdy? Let's hear it.
Well, I have to say this is going to be quite an interesting season heading into up to opening day. But I don't want this to be a distraction. I mean, these are ball players that have gone through such a very difficult year. I mean, this was a team that was just, everything just fell apart for them, from nagging injuries to the uncertainty of the direction of the team. But this is a team that wants to focus on being better. And this will take a while for this team to simply bring back what we were, you know, going back a decade ago, when it revived itself again. And with the future with Vladdy and Bo, I mean, I think the fans need to focus on what's going on, you know, for opening day up until the All-Star break. And I think that's what they need to focus, you know, sooner than later. Because if this, because of distraction, it's going to cause a lot of divided, you know, emotions on either side of the aisle.
All right, Max. No, Max, thank you. Appreciate the call very much. And yeah, the distraction factor is there. Here's another thing though, Max, and we can all chew on, I suppose. So we go back again to the nature of what baseball is. We talked about even a preseason game, every at-bat matters, everything. So, all right, people are talking about it, but end of the day, Vladdy's given 1,000% because he's in a walk year. He's going to try and do his very, very best. The teammates with him in 2025 all want to win in 2025. And they want Vladdy as part of that mix. It is a bad, air quotes, distraction for future years, perhaps. But for this season, listen, if that's the way it has to be, that's the way it has to be. I just worry about losing them both for nothing. But I don't think this is going to be that much of a deterrent if Vladdy stays here all year, especially if he's hitting 350.
Yeah, it's more of a PR issue for the organization at large as opposed to something I think is going to tear this clubhouse apart. Like, it is part of the business, every year, teams, especially competitive teams that have good players, often have guys who are in their walk years. Now, are those guys always as central to the organization as Vladdy is? Not necessarily. Like, it is a difficult situation. The Yankees went through it with Judge. It's not common, but it's also not the rarest, most difficult situation you're ever going to encounter. And in terms of how fans are viewing this team, I think there's a tendency to just see the trajectory of a team. Like, it was going this way, and then last year was down, and then they've got to bring it back up. But I see it as discrete seasons. Like, they're totally different. Like, the team is 0-0 right now. So what happened last year?
No, they're 2-0.
Well, you're right. They're 2-0, and their offense is fantastic. Late game, their ability to strike late in game is unmatched in the league. But it's not really about, like, this is the trajectory of the franchise. Yeah, we can talk about that when we evaluate management. But they're going to start the season 0-0, and it is a new team with a lot of new players. And I don't think that people need to perceive it in the context of this roller coaster. You can appreciate it for what it is. And then, yeah, we can sort through the muck when it comes to the trade deadline, when it comes to the season finishing up.
That's Nick Ashburn. Your thoughts are welcome on the text line 590-590. And speaking of the Aaron Judge scenario that you just brought up, Nick, Paul in Sealy's Bay says, I like the Aaron Judge scenario for Vladdy. There's no reason to think the Jays are not the front runner if we get to next season without Vladdy being traded. He's highly motivated for a great season. Let's hope that happens and the Jays reward him. Paul, thank you. I still see that, though, Paul, as a largely really optimistic scenario. So let's play it out. Nick, let's play it out. So Vladdy stays. They don't trade him. He has a terrific season. He bangs the ball really great. So Jay's ownership comes to the end of the season and they go, okay, well, you know what? I know we're going to go out there and we're going to really give a great, and you just, whatever offer you get, we're going to match. Do you think Vladdy does that given the fact, and I don't want to use the word acrimony, but given the fact that they couldn't sign him now, and after 6 years of being the face of the franchise, management is basically saying, we needed to see one more year really, really good of you, and we need the Yankees to tell you how much you're worth or the Red Sox worth. If I'm Vladdy, I might look at that and say, see you later, boys.
It's tricky. I don't think that they're going to match an offer, and then he'll say, oh, well, I really love being a Blue Jay, and therefore I'm coming back as long as the offer is the same or in the ballpark. I think they'd have to beat an offer. And Vladdy is, prior to this, the spring training season getting going, he said, there are 29 other teams I have to listen to now. Like, so what are the chances the Jays have the best offer and by enough that, he wants to stay here compared to other teams where he might have a better chance to win a World Series, at least in the short or medium term? It's not impossible because, around the league, we've seen that most teams don't value first baseman as much with those superstar contracts. And so there's a chance that he goes to market and it's just not quite there for him the way he thought it would be. But if he has another great season, like a guy hitting free agency, his youth, 2 great years in a row, I think that money will be there and he'll probably take it from another team.
That's my fear. And he walks for nothing, which means at least you have to entertain, explore what you could get in a deal. 590-590, the text line, lots coming in. Steph in Quebec City says it's the last year of a contract for Atkins and Shapiro. They will not think about the future. They should be fired since back last year. Steph, thanks very much. Well, they are still there. I will add to that, and I don't want to start harping on the management again because everybody does that, and it's an ongoing topic here. But end of the day, I got to tell you, I like players in their walk year, okay, Nick? I don't like front office people in potential walk years. Like, if these guys are going to have this incredibly significant decision to make and ownership thinks they're the guys to do it, well, then I don't want to say extend them, but they're the guys. They're the guys. If you don't think they're the guys to do it, now's the time to clean the front office. If you blame them for getting to this, ownership should remove them now, yesterday, a month ago. Some people might argue a year ago, and I would side with that crowd.
It is difficult because the incentives of that position might not align with the personal incentives if you are in your walk year. What you want out of a front office is a group that is able to think over the long term and give you the best chance to win season in, season out, make you into a model franchise, make you into the Los Angeles Dodgers. And so right now, the guys who are in those spots for the Blue Jays are incentivized desperately to win now, because that's how they are going to get their next contract, even if it's not with the Blue Jays. Like right now, they will potentially be looking for work, and so they want to showcase winning. I don't think they're going to showcase themselves by tearing it down. And like you said, if the idea is to tear it down, if the idea is to take a long view, do you trust a group that you're so close to coming to the end of their contracts with making decisions about the prospects you want to bring in who are going to be important to the team in 4, 5, 6 years? It is a really difficult position. And so you often see with managers that they get extended so you don't have that quote unquote lame duck year. And I think the same thing should be generally true with general managers, presidents of baseball ops, whatever the title may be. It is an awkward situation to have your management group so close to having their contract expiring, especially at such a difficult point for the franchise.
Now, that said, you know, when the Blue Jays had their most recent success, you know what the scenario was? It was Alex Anthopoulos in the walk year of his contract, and he didn't care.
But look at the way he acted, too. It worked.
But that's my point. It worked. So, like, who knows? 590 in the text line. You guys love your Blue Jays, boy, and we're happy to hear from you. Dave in Coldwater says, despite the prospects of losing either of our two stars, there are a lot of prospects that are eager to play and hopefully will develop into excellent small ball team. Thanks, guys, and have a great day. Dave, thank you. You have a great day as well. The small ball element is another discussion in terms of how teams win, but I don't think there's any question, Nick, regardless if it's Vladdy or Bo or whatever, Toronto wants to see stars. We expect to see stars. This is a big market. We want to see star players here. And that's another factor that comes into this. And it's not the only reason you sign a Vladdy or a Bo or whoever, or you go after Soto or Otani or whatever. You want to be a big market team, act like a big market team. You want to play with the big boys, you got to play with the big boys. There's no other way to do it. And I, Dave, I get it. You're being optimistic. But, man, you got to have your cake and eat it, too. You can have good young talent in your system. But, come on, I want to see some guys that are worth – they're charging a lot of money for tickets here.
Yeah, and you know, in a different alternate universe, maybe the Blue Jays would have someone who looks like the next Vladdy coming along at AA, AAA, or looks like the next Bo. And I'm not saying that there's no talent in this organization, but we talked about it before the game. Like, those guys were, you know, the number one prospect in baseball. Bo is definitely in the top 10 on a lot of lists. Like, the Blue Jays don't have that type of guy coming. Now, could someone surprise? Absolutely. There could be someone that's not high on the list, not high on the radar, lower down in the system, who just finds a new gear, and that's the next face of the franchise. But right now, it just doesn't look like they have someone who is likely to be that. And that's why losing these guys potentially would hurt even more than it might if they had this great farm system that would replenish the roster.
In an alternative universe, the Jays are 0-2 to start the spring. It's 2-0, so I like this universe just fine. John in Oakville on the text line says, there's a very good chance Blue Jays management mishandles the Vladdy and Bo situation. It's even more likely they'll miss the playoffs and get very little for them at the trade deadline. Trade them now. Get some great assets for the near future. John, thank you. We talked a lot about that. I appreciate it. But we'll get another text or two in here. We're almost out of time. Carlo says, I'm not up to speed on Major League Baseball signing, but can the Jays not sign him during the year? Carlo, thank you. They can sign him anytime, Carlo. It's worth reminding and pointing out to people who aren't aware, Nick, that this whole deadline thing was self-imposed by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He said, I did not want to have this go through the season. Well, the deadline passed. Blue Jays can offer him $1 billion tomorrow and say, here's your new offer. You're going to take it?
Yeah, it was arbitrary. It's not written in stone. I think what Vladdy wants to avoid is, let's start negotiating again, and here's me offering you a number that's $45 million below what you asked for, and let's try and work our way towards a midpoint. He doesn't have an appetite for that. In theory, you could say, okay, we were wrong, our bad, what you want, you've got it, and maybe that would work. I don't think that that is happening by any stretch of the imagination. That's not how these things normally go, but there's no rule preventing them from finding an extension.
Sterling in Barrie, another texter, and apologies to the texters we're not going to be able to get here because you guys are great. But Sterling in Barrie, our final one for today, says, please remember Vladdy was not good for the first 2 months or so last year. Actually, it was only the first month, Sterling. But he closed well, and everyone seems to keep saying he had a great year. He has also not led us to any significant winning yet. Sterling, Vladdy had a great year last year at the end of the year, one of the premier players in the game. It was a slow start, but just to correct you on that. But your point, he has not led to any significant winning yet. You know, people complain the fact that Bo, Vladdy era, they haven't won a playoff game. Well, shouldn't some of that blame actually have to go to Bo and Vladdy for not playing as well in the playoffs as they did in the regular season?
A little bit, but I don't buy that as much in baseball. It's harder for individual players on in a small sample, a couple of games to make that difference. It's not basketball where, you know, you have LeBron and you have a ticket to the NBA Finals, at least during the prime of his career. It's just structured differently. You know, Mike Trout, the great example, never able to bring the Angels success, even though he was truly unbelievable. Shohei Ohtani earlier in his career as well. I don't blame those two very much for what happened in the playoffs. It's just a handful of games.
No question, I do not blame Blue Jay fans for their passion and their interest in this team, because that's what's making this boat float. And great stuff. Blue Jays beat Boston today 8-7 to improve to 2-0 in the preseason. Nick Ashburn, great to be with you, my friend. You keep it up with Show Ali all year, buddy.
Absolutely.
Show will be back for more Blue Jays talk throughout the course of the season. I'm Roger Lajoie. Thanks to the great Tom Young and Nick Blackmore for a great job behind the glass. Thanks to Ben Shulman, Shai Davidi for calling the game today. I'm Roger Lajoie. I'll talk to you next Wednesday night. The next Blue Jay game, St. Louis, 1 o'clock on Tuesday. Listen in then for all of us. Thanks for listening to Blue Jay Baseball. I'm Roger Lajoie signing off on the Sportsnet Radio Network.